I'm Manila Chan. You are tuned into Modus Operandi. It's being compared to America's BLM riots of 2020. France seeing weeks of protests, riots, and looting following the police shooting death of an ethnic Algerian teen. Today, we'll explore how the death of Nahel Merzouq sparked nationwide unrest and a difficult conversation about race, inequality, and power in France. All right, let's get into the MO. Seventeen-year-old Nahel Merzouq, a delivery driver, was pulled over by French national police in the Paris suburb of Nanterre on June 27th. It's unclear to outside observers what actually happened when police first approached his vehicle. But within moments, the teen attempted to flee the scene. That's when one of the officers opened fire as the boy drove away. The end result, we know, was that Nahel tragically died. He's the third person to be killed in France thus far by police. In 2022, France saw 13 people fatally shot by French police who didn't comply during traffic stops. But for some reason, Nahel's death was the final straw. For more than a week, cities, suburbs, and even the French countryside burned. Cars, buildings, you name it. Thousands of arrests. Millions upon millions of dollars worth of goods looted or vandalized. Communities of color in France had enough. To discuss the underlying, long-simmering tensions between minority groups and the French power elites, we'll talk to Ted Rall. Ted is a syndicated columnist, cartoonist, radio talk show host, and author of many books, most relevant to this matter, a book called To Afghanistan and Back. Ted Rall, thank you for joining us. Full disclosure, Ted is my friend and co-host of the Sputnik radio show called The Final Countdown. So I just got to put that out there. But that's not why I asked Ted to join us on this topic. Ted happens to be a dual citizen, French-American or American-French, not sure in which order or if it matters, he can clarify. But because of his dual citizen status, France is his maternal homeland. The events unfolding there hit literally close to home for Ted. So Ted, as we witness the rioting, the looting, the burning of communities all surrounding Paris and beyond, what goes through your mind? What's your analysis of those events?
Well, a lot of Americans are sort of asking, what's wrong with France? Why are they so crazy? How did things become so dysfunctional there? And I'm kind of reminded of a very famous episode between Thoreau and his good friend Ralph Waldo Emerson. One of them was in prison for civil disobedience, or I should say in jail, and the other one came to visit him and said, "My good friend, what are you doing there in prison?" And the other one said, "My good friend, what are you doing out there, not in prison?" And I think that's sort of the attitude that the French would have about Americans. We have so many social and political and economic ills that are afflicting us, including a continuing problem with police brutality, often racially inflected, that why they might ask, why are we not out in the streets? Why are cities in America not burning? And of course, obviously, we did have a little bit of that during 2020, during the BLM protests. But for the most part, Americans are a quiet lot. We haven't really had a major protest movement in this country since the early 1970s, half a century ago. We are we're like Switzerland here. We're not really doing anything. And the French have a long tradition of agitation and reaction to injustice. So the background here is it's been a long time coming. This is not simply a case of some trigger-happy cops who pulled over a 17-year-old kid driving without a driver's license in the suburbs, who got nervous and shot him as he tried to get away. This is the latest chapter, the latest episode, the latest flashpoint in a long-standing problem in France where this national police, something we do not have here in the United States, patrols particularly minority areas and Arab areas as though they are occupied territory. They are they roll into town. They set up checkpoints. They ask, they demand IDs in what we would call stop and frisk. They harass people. Things that just don't happen if you're in the white Catholic areas of France. If you, as a tourist, go to Paris, you're never going to be asked for your ID. The thing is, in France, everyone is issued a national ID card. I have one. And you can be asked by any government or police official at any time to present your ID card, and it's against the law not to have it. If you, as a tourist, a white tourist, are walking around in Paris or Marseille or Nice, you are never going to be approached by the police, even if they don't know that you're not French. They're never going to ask you because they don't do that there. But the national police has a very dark, racist, far-right political background. It goes back to the Nazi occupation of France, which took place between 1940 and 1944. At that time, France was divided into two zones, a directly occupied zone by Nazi Germany in the north and including Paris, and then an area that probably most listeners or viewers are aware of called Vichy France, which was run by a collaborationist pro-Nazi puppet regime headed by the French general Henri-Philippe Pétain. Pétain formed the National Police in 1941 to supplement and sort of go over the heads of the gendarmerie. The gendarmes are basically, French means gen is person, alm is arm, is gun. So it literally means gun, person. That's your local cop, is your gendarmes. They have affiliation in the local community. They know people. They're not nearly as likely to be involved in this kind of aggressive policing as the Police Nationale. The Police Nationale was originally known as the Sûreté when they were founded by Pétain. And they, the French, in my view, wrongly kept a lot of Vichy institutions at the end of 1944 after liberation under Charles de Gaulle. And one of the institutions that they kept was the National Police, in the same way that Trump kept the Space Force. I mean, sorry, Biden kept Trump's Space Force. So it's basically that same sort of thing. They go and travel wherever they want. They don't pay attention to the local police, the gendarmes. They set up checkpoints. They harass local kids in particular. And there's really no one in France, even among white people, who doesn't know or at least indirectly have some kind of story of police brutality involving the Police Nationale. I mean, you know, here there's that statement, ACAB, all cops are bastards. Well, all Police Nationale are bastards. And so this was only a matter of time. What you're seeing here is, this is just a bridge too far. It was caught on video. The cops lied about what happened. They tried to get out of it and weasel out of it, but they couldn't. It's less, I think this is less of a George Floyd and more of a Rodney King moment when it comes to French politics, in that this is the first time that the cops were caught dead to right, and the authorities don't really know what to do about it. President Emmanuel Macron has pretty much admitted that this shouldn't have happened. The interior minister has set up a hard line and has demanded harsh prison sentences for anybody caught looting or rioting. But bottom line is, this was to be expected. This could easily have happened years ago. And it's the result of years of pent-up anger, Manila.
The neighborhood this teenager, Nael Merzouk, is from, you've said is largely Algerian or of North African immigrants. The boy's death at the hands of national police seems to expose these deep racial divides in France. Can you give us some modern historical context around this? I mean, does any of this have to do with the French colonial past?
Yeah, no, France's colonial past is front and center when it comes to all this. I mean, today France is just another country in Europe and a secondary partner to Germany in the EU. But of course, 100 years ago, France had a vast empire that circled the globe and rivaled the UK's in terms of the sun never setting, this time, in this case, on the French Empire. France possessed colonies around the world, still does. Tahiti places like Martinique and Guadeloupe in the Caribbean. They have a couple of islands off the coast of Newfoundland, Canada, Saint-Pierre et Saint-Miquelon. They have the Île de Réunion in the middle of the Indian Ocean, Nouvelle-Calédonia also in the Pacific. And of their many colonies, they had vast swaths of Africa, particularly North Africa. Many of the Arab Saharan countries were part of the French dominion, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and so on. And so what happened here definitely relates to that. After France's colonial aspirations began to evaporate with its defeat in the Algerian independence struggle in the early 1960s, and by the way, that's really beautifully documented in a sort of pseudo-documentary film called The Battle of Algiers, that I would strongly recommend, won a lot of awards. And after 9/11, in fact, it became required viewing among Pentagon planners, looking into how they were going to occupy and deal with resistance movements in Afghanistan and Iraq. But anyway, so this kid, he was half Moroccan, half Algerian. And there are a lot of people of that background who came here, particularly after the Algerian civil conflict made it very unpleasant to live in places like that. Some of them were political refugees. The point is that in many cases, they were allowed to come to France quite easily. Sometimes they came on tourist visas. Sometimes they were actual citizens. The legal status varies tremendously. For example, Algeria was considered not just a colony. Algeria was legally part of France, the same way that Alaska and Hawaii are part of the United States. It was a full French département, a department, which is like a province, basically. And there were a lot of white people, colonists, settlers. They called them the Pieds Noirs, the Blackfeet, because of the soil of Algeria. And they lived there tenth by the tens of thousands there, and they considered themselves fully Algerian. Anyway, this colonial legacy has left and frankly enriched France with a lot of people of Muslim background and who came from these former French colonies. It makes for a better variety of food and culture. It makes France a far more interesting place than it used to be before World War II. But the problem is there are racial tensions. France views itself primarily as a French Catholic country. This is kind of a witch's brew of a special kind of racism. And it's kind of the contempt of this nation state and sort of old generation white French people to look down on anybody who's got darker skin or who's not Catholic by culture. And so the Police Nationale, even though, as the government will point out, they're more diverse, they've inherited this culture in their ranks that they view people with dark skin, swarthy people, as being trouble, as being people who aren't willing to play by the rules.
Coming up next, Emmanuel Macron on the ropes. Despite his recent re-election, the French president is put in a tough spot, and his power is put to the test in the wake of this police shooting. We'll discuss it when we return with Ted Rall. Sit tight, the MO will be right back.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. pictures designed to simplify or confuse? Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact.
Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Welcome back to The MO. I'm Manila Chan. Despite Emmanuel Macron only recently winning his re-election in 2022, this latest spate of violent protests could serve as the tipping point in his legacy as president. These riots weakening his party and strengthening opposition, but perhaps not in the direction you might think. Ted Rall is back with us. Thank you for sticking around, Ted. So let's talk about what Emmanuel Macron is doing about this. I mean, France is burning. I've seen numerous videos online of whole giant buildings set ablaze by rioters. Some have made comparisons to America's George Floyd protests and the BLM riots of 2020. Are they really comparable? I mean, you had mentioned Rodney King. How is the French president responding to these violent acts?
Well, the French president is between a rock and a hard place because of what happened earlier this year. People are wondering whether these protests are in related in any way to the yellow vest protests of a few years ago that have been ongoing, as well as the widespread protests over his decision to unilaterally increase the retirement age in France from 62 to 64 without consulting parliament. And there's there is a relationship, but it's not, the relationship isn't, hey, whenever we're mad, we take to the streets and throw Molotov cocktails at the cops. The relationship is that the Police Nationale was used in order to counteract and suppress the yellow vests as well as the anti-pension protests. And because of that, now, and the gendarmes are not, have not really been desirous or as cooperative in terms of defending the state's prerogatives in that same way. In this particular case, you have a different situation, which is Macron has some sympathy for the protests against police violence. He did not approve and very quickly issued a statement that that Nahel Merzouk should not have met his end this way. He disapproved of it. And I think if he didn't already owe a chit, a favor to the Police Nationale, if he wasn't literally barely hanging on to power because of their ability to run interference for the state's unpopularity in the streets of Paris and other major cities, he would be free to tamp this situation down. But as it is, he can only really issue half-hearted, feeble statements that are like, please, you know, this is terrible. Stop. I wish this wasn't happening. He can't issue a full-throated condemnation of the national police because if he were to do so, the cops would probably stand down, much in the way that we're seeing in the United States with the cops standing down after the BLM protests and the Divest the Police movement. Even though the police really didn't get divested anywhere of note, they are still so mad about it that they kind of refuse to turn up to fight real crime. And that's why we see a lot of scenes of chaos in inner cities in San Francisco, LA, and New York and other places like that. So he's, you know, Macron is looking at that and thinking, okay, if I come out against the national police, I'm going to have the same problem. And what are they going? What am I going to do the next time the anti-pension age increase protesters or some other protest movement gets out of control? I mean, he was just reelected, but it's only because the French voted against Marine Le Pen. That is not because they voted for him. He admitted that. He knows that. He's a very, very weak guy for a guy who has a controlling, he controls the parliament. And he was recently reelected. You would think that he would have considerable power. The truth is, this president is on the ropes, and he could go any second.
France is no stranger to protests. pre-COVID, we saw the ongoing yellow vest protests for more than a year. We've seen labor protests recently or retirement age protests. The French know protesting, especially when they feel authority has gone too far. But when it comes to these immigrant issues, if we look at the money, crowdfunding sites seem to imply that French citizens are actually favoring the cop who shot Nael. The officer has already garnered over $1 million for his defense fund, while Nael's family is at a fraction of that. It's growing, but it's still a fraction. Is it more of a divide similar to those that we have here stateside, where communities of color tend to be economically disadvantaged, therefore they have less to give to Nael's family, and then the privileged whites of France have more wealth, so they're donating to the cops? I mean, can this be explained that neatly?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't want to overstate the progressive or left-wing nature of French politics, because as the National Police reflects and the popularity of Marine Le Pen reflects, clearly there is a right-wing, a very strong right-wing orientation tendency also within French politics. And it's been always been a deeply polarized country. You know, it's similar to here. It's the rural areas are more conservative. The urban areas are more left. And you do, if you're going to sort of try to do the rough, like, let's see who's more popular by looking at whose GoFundMe is more popular, I don't think that's a very useful way to look at it, because the people who are going to support the French cop are going to necessarily be older, more conservative, and more rural, and with more access to money, and view that as their way to express themselves. They're not going to go out and counter protest and throw Molotov cocktails back at the anti-police protesters. And at the same time, you're not going to go into, the pro Nahel protesters. They are going to view donating as less useful than going out and agitating in the street. Not to mention, they're less able to do so because, as you kind of indicated and alluded to there, Manila, they are they're younger. The average age of someone arrested was 14 to 18. They don't have a lot of money to give away. And a lot of them are people of color, so they tend to have smaller incomes and they're less able to afford it. I mean, it's very analogous, I think, to the subway choking death of Jordan Neely by the former US Marine Daniel Penny in New York City, where there were rival GoFundMes, and Daniel Penny did very, very well. I think he got more money, if memory serves, than his victim, Jordan Neely. Jordan Neely's dead, but his Jordan Neely's family. And there's a tendency to say, well, that means the police officer is getting more sympathy. But I think that's not quite the way it is. I think it's just the money is talking towards the forces of reaction, because that's the way the class division exists.
Now, last, on the political front, there have been thousands of arrests, millions and millions of dollars worth of stuff looted and vandalized, torched. But there seems to be one victor here, and that's Marine Le Pen. You've mentioned her already, and her far-right circles. Macron is on the ropes. He's a lame duck president. He's got the Olympics coming up next summer. How's this pan out for the political circles in France?
Well, everything in politics comes down to timing. If if there were an election held today, if Macron were to step down right now, and a new election would, I think the election would be held in either a month or two, is the way this would work. There's a short campaign period in France that's permitted. It would be hard to imagine. Well, this race would come down to Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who's basically sort of a French Bernie Sanders plus versus Marine Le Pen. And probably Le Pen would win, although Mélenchon would probably come close. The center has been completely gutted and hollowed out. But of course, the election might not be tomorrow or in 2 months. The election will more likely be later on. If it's on schedule, it'll be 4 years from now. And who knows where we'll be by then. We probably will have a completely different set of political parties. I mean, French politics has, their parties change a lot, and they've become increasingly personalized. We used to have a situation in France that resembled the United States, where you had, for example, the Socialist Party had a number of candidates that were prominent, including, of course, François Mitterrand, who was elected in 1981, if memory serves. And then you'd have other rally, like the Rally for the Republic, and then they would have their own candidates. Now, like with someone like Macron, he had his own personal party, basically, and he cobbled together a coalition with other sort of personal parties. So there's not a lot of continuity, not to mention, to really complicate things, they have these alliances, these sort of the parties of elections for the left and elections for the right first, and then sometimes they do that, sometimes they don't do that. Le Pen's party is the National Rally, which is kind of an heir to the old National Front, which was her father's orientation. And so she provides some continuity here. It's all a way of saying, look, it's complicated, Manila. It's like anything could happen. If you had an election held right now, Marine Le Pen wins. So time is on Marine Le Pen's side if there's not much of it left. But if let's just say Macron holds on for another year, who knows? It could become Mélenchon's game. Never discount either the far left or the far right when it comes to French politics, because anything can happen, especially now. It's an extremely volatile situation, even before all of these protests.
Ted Rall, syndicated columnist, cartoonist, and author of To Afghanistan and Back. Thank you so much for sharing your analysis with us. Very sad situation there in France. That is going to do it for today's episode of Modus Operandi, the show that digs deep into foreign policy and current affairs. I'm your host, Manila Chan. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again next time to figure out the MO.